I believe with all my heart that God's word is the way in which he has made the people that he has created to live. I believe that. I believe that God has given us his word so that we know the very best way in which to live, so that we can glorify him and to enjoy him. I believe that when we decide to say, you know what, God, I don't like your way, I'd rather do it my way, we find incredible difficulties in that. Now, there's plenty of difficulties to go around, but one of the things that we should try as hard as we can not to find difficulty in is doing the things that God wants us to do the way God wants us to do it. There's plenty of difficulties to go around in this world. Isn't that true? And God, in the midst of the world that we live in that is fraught with difficulties, has given us his word so that we can know the way in which he has us to go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. This is true. I found it to be true in my own life. I remember the path I was on before I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It was a path that was most assuredly leading to lots of destruction, lots of heartache, and lots of pain. I was already in the midst of certain things that were painful for me and for many others. Then he saved me. And God began to teach me his way. Now, how did he do that? He gave me this book. This is the Bible. The Bible is of the utmost importance because this book right here is God's way. We don't have to figure it out. He's already given it to us, right? We don't have to figure it out. God has already given it to us. He did not, after I got saved, say, all right, I'm going to teach you by osmosis. He said, no, I'm going to teach you my word. Open it up. Begin to read it. Begin to study it. Begin to understand my way. And he began to shape my life through his word. I am standing up here now saying that I am a work in progress. And I praise the Lord that he is going to continue that work until the day of Jesus Christ. He is going to finish the work that he began in me. And he's going to finish that work in you too. If you're here today and he has not begun that work, may today be the day you let him begin. When does that begin? The day that you trust that Jesus Christ, the God of all creation, came into this world to die on the cross for your sin. He came to take the punishment that you deserve. And by the way, you do deserve it. I deserve it most fiercely. But he took it upon himself, so I don't have to. He paid the way so that I can be with God forever, so that I can have what he calls eternal life. If you trust him that he died for your sin. And by the way, he's God. And so when they buried them, they couldn't keep him there. Because he's God. And he wasn't going to stay dead. And that's exactly what happened. He did not stay dead. He came back to life. He rolled the stone away. And he is alive today. When you trust Jesus, you're not trusting a dead God. You're trusting a living God. I trusted him in 1999 and he changed the course of my life. And he wants to do that for you too. But there has to be a beginning. And if you're here today and you've not trusted that he died on the cross for you, our prayer is that today would be that beginning. I want you to know most assuredly that is true. What I just said is 100% true. And to not believe it is to not believe what is true. And not to believe God. It's not my words I'm giving you. I'm giving you the things that he has said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. And so to not believe these things is to not believe God. Don't not believe God. It doesn't make any sense. When we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin life with Him. He begins to take us and shape us and form us. He begins to teach us the way that we are to live. And His way is always best, isn't it? Amen. He teaches us how to live as a son or a daughter. I remember Him beginning, that was one of the things that He very quickly began to teach me, is that I was not living the way I should as a son. When the Scripture says, children, obey your parents, I was not doing that. I was not living the way I should when it came to my parents. In fact, if they knew many of the things that I was doing, they'd be embarrassed. I'm glad the Lord saved them from that. But I do know this. My folks knew that there was something going on in me that was wrecking my relationship with them. You know what God did? He changed me. Changed my relationship with my folks. One of the first things He did. He also prepared me for marriage. And He continues to change me and work in me and what it means to be a husband. By the way, husbands, you're not in it alone. God has given you His way. And He will teach you how to be a husband. Wives as well. I'm not a wife though, so husbands, He's going to teach you. Wives, He'll teach you what it means to be a wife in the Lord. He'll teach children how to be children in the Lord. He'll teach people what it means to be a workers in the world. What it means to have someone who's their boss. How many of you have a job? Nobody, man. We're in trouble. No, I know many of you have a job. You know, God has a way for you to be a worker. He calls it a servant in the Scripture. He teaches you how to do it. How to do it His way. Why? Because He hates you and wants to keep you from making it to the top. No, His way is always best, and He's gotten plenty of Christians to the top. I praise the Lord for the many Christians who've gone through the ranks of business, sports, you name it. There are Christians who have reached great heights, and they did it the right way, with humility. You say, that can't happen. It can. God can do it. He can orchestrate it. Do it His way. He shows us what it means to be a boss. To have authority over someone else. He teaches us those things. He teaches us what it means to have a pastor and to be a pastor. He teaches us what it means to obey authority in government in our country. He teaches us all these things. And I want you to know today, in the garden, when there was Adam and there was Eve, there was one authority. It was God Himself. And it was sweet in the garden. But Adam and Eve both decided to disregard and disobey God. They became rebels. They rebelled against God, and they did what God told them not to. God is God, by the way. He knew exactly what was going on, and He came, and ultimately He had to cast them out of the garden. During that time, God even said that because of the curse, wives are going to end up doing what husbands want them to do. There became this authority that had to be there, husbands over wives. This was not because God hates women. One of the things that I believe that we're finding out today is that God's way is the best way. God's way is the best way. Do you want to know how to treat a woman? God's way is the best way. We see what an unsaved world does to women, and it's disgusting. No. Christianity has it all wrong. Well, we're finding out now, very succinctly and clearly, I believe, that God has it all right. He does. I love my wife. I want you to know, I submit to my wife a lot. I submit to my wife a lot. The scripture says that we are to submit one to another. And I've submitted unto her in things like restaurants, and I've submitted unto her in things like family and how to discipline my children. My wife said, well, I think you need to do this. There have been times where she said, you know, one of your children, they did this today. I think they need a spanking. Let me tell you, the last thing I want to do when I get home is go deal with a child who has been misbehaving. And I've submitted to her in that. She submits to me in a lot of things. I praise the Lord for my family. I praise the Lord for my children. They get the raw end of the deal when I preach. They get the raw end of the deal. Because a lot of times when I speak, I'm talking about the things they did wrong. But I tell you what, I've got children that are fine children. And I praise the Lord for them. You know why? They love me. They really do. They love my wife. They really do. And they have their struggles and I have mine. But they love me. And they love my wife. I want you to know God's way is the very best way. God's way is the very best way. This year, our theme, and themes last only so long, but our theme is being and making disciples. Ultimately, a disciple is someone who does it God's way. Who knows God's way and does it God's way. Who understands what it is that God says in the Word of God in this book. And says, with the best of my ability, I'm going to set out to do what God says. Will a disciple to fail to keep God's Word in every instant, every day? Yes. Many times. But her heart of hearts is that God's way is the best way, and I'm going to set out to do it every day. In fact, I believe that a person cannot be a disciple apart from understanding God's way when it comes to authority. And so I want you to put your finger in Colossians chapter 4 and chapter 3. But I want you to listen. You can turn there if you like to this most. It's a well-known scripture, especially after you get saved. You may not know it today, but that's okay. You'll know it now. It's often called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. There's several places where we find the Great Commission. But I want you to look there, particularly in Matthew 28. The scripture says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power or authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Jesus here is saying, I am in charge. I am the head. My way is the way in which everyone should go. I created you, and you ought to do it my way, because I know how I made you, and I know how you work the best. All power, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice this last line. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Teaching them to observe or teaching them to obey. Everything that I have taught you, everything that I have commanded you, I want you to go and teach them, others, those that are new, to obey the very same things. When Jesus said, all things that I have commanded you, what was he saying? I want you to know it is not just the red letters in your Bible. He wants us to understand his way in the scripture. From the very first word in Genesis, in the beginning, God created, to the very last words in Revelation, even so come, Lord Jesus, amen. He wants us to know these so that we may live according to them. This is what God desires from us, and this is what He commands. And by the way, when He commands it because He knows it is the very best thing. He wants us to obey the command of salvation. Being saved is living in accordance to one command: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. From there, He wants us to understand the Scripture in such a way that He's able to change and form our lives so that we can live as He wants us to live. And it's the best way. When you are living with a person who knows God's way and seeks to live that way, it makes all the difference. When you as well are also a person who knows and seeks to live God's way, it makes all the difference. Listen, I've had struggles in my marriage. By the way, do you believe that? I've had struggles in my marriage. Most of the time, it is because I'm a dope. All right? Most of the time. Sometimes it's because things that are out of control. We just can't control them, and so we struggle through it. Sometimes it's difficulties and pain and suffering. But we've had trouble in our marriage. But sometimes in the midst of that trouble, I think, oh, what life could have been if I did not know God's way. It could have been much worse. And I'm glad that He kept us from it. I want you to take a look there in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 18. I'd like to speak just briefly today on God's prescribed way of authority. I believe if we're going to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand authority and its submission. We need to know what it means to be able to be an authority, and we need to know what it means to be able to submit. Because we live in a fallen world, God has designed it this way. I believe there's five basic places in which we have authority, or six, where there's authority and its submission. Number one, God. We submit to the authority of God. We never have authority over God. We submit to His authority. Anything that we do that is not submitting to God's authority is rebellion. When we say no to God, we are rebelling against God. God has called us to have submission in our home. Authority and submission. There is authority in the husband, and that authority is over the wife. But not in a cruel and nasty way. In a way that says, I'm willing to take responsibility for what's going on in my home. And I'm going to lead us as best I can. And I'm going to love my wife. And when she comes to me and says, husband, I think you're doing it wrong, I'm not going to say, you're the wife. I'm going to say, what do you think I'm doing wrong? I'm going to say with all humility, what is it that I missed on? There are many times that I've had to listen to my wife tell me, you were wrong. And I didn't think less of my wife. I praise God for my wife. She's precious. Fathers and moms, mothers, have authority in their home over their children. And so there's authority in the home. There's authority in the workplace. There are those who have authority or masters, one who has power to decide by ownership, one who's in charge and has the responsibility and will face the consequences of their responsibility if they do right or wrong. And as if we are workers, we have the responsibility to do what they tell us to do. There's authority in government, whether it be policemen, etc., those who make the laws. And there's authority in the church, the pastor. And one of the things that we have to understand as we are seeking to live according to this principle of authority and its submission is that the world gets it all wrong. The world says, if I'm the boss, you do what I say and never question it. God says, if you're the boss, you need to give the right for redress and petition. By the way, what is the First Amendment of the United States Constitution? We remember the freedom of speech and religion, but one of the most crucial things that makes our country great is that we never say, authority, you get to tell us what to do, and we never get to say anything about it. No, we have the absolute right and God-given right for petition and redress. Petition is when the authority is not necessarily sinning and doing something wrong, but they're not doing it the best way. And so you get to go and say, listen, you're not doing it wrong, but I don't think you're doing it the best way. Redress is when the authority is doing it wrong. They are sinning against you. And you get to go and say, listen, that's wrong. It's a sin. You've got to stop. You can't do it that way. I know you're an authority, but you cannot do that. It is a sin. You have to stop. Every government that allows its people these two things is a much better government. When these things are taken away, we become a land that is under totalitarianism. And this cannot be, not in our country. We should have the right of petition and redress with the understanding that you can't punish me for saying it. Does that make sense? If I come and say, you're not doing it the best way, you cannot punish me for it. If I come and say, it is a sin what you're doing, you cannot throw me in jail. If my wife comes to me and says, you were wrong, I can't smack her around for it. Right? If my wife comes and says, listen, I think what you're doing as a daddy or as a pastor or whatever, it's not a sin. I can't say that you're sinning. I can't look into the scripture and say that's a sin, but it sure isn't the best way. She can't get punished by me from it, right? Does that make sense? You understand God's way? God's way is very wise, isn't it? And so as you look there, the scripture says in verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you have a master in heaven. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark that last phrase. Knowing that you have a master in heaven. Christian, the ultimate authority we have is God. And his way is in this book. And all those who give their lives daily to knowing God and his way are going to be far better off. Are they going to be perfect? Not on this side of heaven. But they are going to be far better off. When we take this book and reject it, we are going to reap the consequences of rejecting it. We are going to not be better off. We are going to be worse off. Sorry, anybody who's offended before in the Bible. I'll pick it up. I knew a girl in college. She would not put the Bible on top of anything. It always had to be, something had to be under it. I don't know why she did that, but if the Bible ever hit the ground, she would let me know it. But listen, God's way is the best way. And so when God gives us this passage of authority and of submission, He's not doing it so that we can live lives that are miserable under the totalitarian authority that despises and wants to crush us like a bug. He wants us to understand His way so that we can have peace and joy in this world. And when peace eludes us, there is a way to find peace again. One of the sad things I find in the principles of these things in the workplace, I've seen it happen in my own life, and I've had to hear sometimes stories that will make you cringe. To think that a boss knows that a person is stuck in that job, and therefore they can do whatever they want because they know if they quit or they do that type of thing, they're not in a position to go and get another job right immediately. If they didn't have a job for 2 months, their family would suffer greatly. And so they know that. They take advantage of it. It sickens me. And it's always sad when a person is in the midst of those things. It is terrible. I don't care if you are the janitor or you are the COO. If there's someone who is an authority over you, you ought to have every right to be able to go to them and say, listen, I don't think you're doing it right. And not lose your job because of it. I don't think you're doing it right. The same thing goes on in the home. One of the saddest things that I've seen as a pastor is when husbands are wicked to their wives. Their wives cannot say one word without fear of getting injured or yelled at or made to feel like a nothing. This cannot be. God's way is the very best way. You guys with me? God's way is the very best way. It begins by submitting ourselves to Him first. How do we submit to Him? It is not by looking at the laws of God and throughout the Scripture and saying, okay, God, you said you gave 10 commandments, I'm going to start obeying them all. That's not how you submit to God. God has not said, submission to me is read the 10 commandments and begin doing them all without fail. He said, submission to me is believing what I've said concerning salvation and the death of Jesus Christ. How do you submit to God? You submit to Him by believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. That He rose from the dead the third day. You submit to Him by speaking to Him and saying, God, I believe You. You died for me, and You rose from the dead. You died for my sin. I believe this. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe I've done it wrong. I believe that I've been a bad husband and a bad wife, and we all have. The Scripture says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. When it comes to the principle of submission and authority, we've failed. Have we not? How many of us could raise our hand and say, boy, I did it all right my whole life? Nobody can. We have failed. Submission to God is not stopping the failure. Submission to God is believing what He did. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. And He rose again the third day. Yes, you are a sinner. Jesus did die for you. When you submit to God in this way, suddenly He will begin to teach you. And His teaching is a transforming teaching. It is not simply that you know certain things that you didn't know before. The Scripture puts it this way. He begins to form you like a potter forms a pot, forms a vessel. He begins to form you and make you into something that is beautiful and of great value. But it all begins by submitting to Him and believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. He died for your sin and rose again. Today, if He's not able to begin that formation, that pottery that He wants to do with you, it is because you have not submitted in believing that He died on the cross for your sin. How do you believe? Well, you understand that you are a sinner, that you have sinned against the God who made you, and you go to Him believing that He died for you. Say, God, I believe. I believe that You died for me. I believe You rose from the dead. If You're God, You certainly can do that. I believe this. And you ask Him to save you. I did that when I was 19 years old. 1999. October. And He began a forming unlike I could ever have thought. He wants to do that in your life too.